This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, everyone. Senate Commerce and Energy is now in session. I'd like to ask everyone to please take a seat if you haven't already and have your phones turned to silent. If you plan on testifying today, make sure you sign in at the back of the room. Please prepare to have handouts distributed to the members of the committee through the pages, and lobbyists, have your badges clearly visible. And welcome to those that are joining us online. We encourage your participation remotely. Please contact us through senatecommerce@sdlegislature.gov. Lastly, a reminder that all testimony and questions will be addressed through the chair. At this time, I'd ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Foster.
Here.
Nordstrup. Schoenbeck. Stalzer.
Here.
Steinhauer. Tobin.
Here.
Zickman.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here.
Crabtree.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. At this time, the chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting. It's been moved by Zickman and seconded by Tobin. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Minutes are approved. All right. Pages, if you would like, please come up and share a little bit about where you're from and where you're going.
Good morning, Senators. My name is Sequoia Altamirano, and I am a senior at Chamberlain High School. Next school year, I will be attending the University of Minnesota Twin Cities and majoring in political science.
Good morning, committee and senators, and I guess the lobbyists behind me. I'm Logan Mueller. I am a senior at O'Gorman High School in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and my current intentions as at this moment is to study political science and econ. Where is not exactly yet specified, but I should have a decision probably by about April 1st, April 2nd.
Perfect. Well, thank you both. Just one brief announcement when we look at the committee agenda. When we look at HB 1229, that is going to be moved to Thursday. Otherwise, we'll take everything in order. And with that, I'll hand this over to Senator Wheeler.
Okay, we are now on House Bill 1102. An act to reduce the exempt commercial policyholder aggregate premium requirement. Proponent testimony, Senator Crabtree.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Casey Crabtree, Senator from District 8, which is Lake Moody Minor and Sanborn Counties. Today on HB 1102, what we have is a bill to make a change to the exempt commercial policyholder aggregate premium requirement. The bill was unopposed in the House and passed out 68-0. Functionally, the bill will make it easier for businesses to secure commercial general liability insurance. It opens up the non-admitted carrier market to more South Dakota businesses, which in turn gives those businesses more option and more competition for their insurance needs, which is good for our South Dakota businesses as it creates more competition. This allows them to find the coverage that is best tailored for their business, and I hope you'll support this bill. Thanks.
Further proponents for House Bill 1102.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Doug Abraham, an attorney from Pierre and a registered lobbyist for American Property Casualty Insurers Association. HB 1102, well, I should say, PCI's primary national trade association for home, auto, and business insurers. It promotes and protects private competition within the industry. You know, this bill just makes a modest change. All we're doing is striking $100,000 and replacing it with $50,000 in a list of qualifiers for when you can pursue exempt commercial policies within the insurance market. It allows for more businesses to participate in the exempt market with non-admitted insurers for the benefit of the South Dakota business owners. When you look at the bill, Section 1 is the area where we strike 100 and replace it with 50. And that's the trailing premium for the last policy year. So that's the policy paid by an entity in the preceding policy year. When we look at the section of code that already exists, it's necessary to explain what this bill does. So if you have a company that employs an internal risk manager or uses a retained risk manager, they can go out and pursue exempt commercial coverage through a non-admitted insurer if they meet two of the seven factors that are listed in 58-24-68. those factors generally are, they have to have at least, under the existing code, the section we portion we want to change, they have to have at least $100,000 of trailing premium. We'd like to change that to 50 to open this up to more companies. Under Section 2, the company could have a net worth of at least $10 million. Section 3, annual net revenues or net sales of at least $10 million. Under Section 4, 100 full-time employees. Under Section 5, if it's a nonprofit, an annual operating budget of at least $2,500,000. Or if it's a public entity, an operating budget of at least $10 million. Or under Section 7, if the policyholder is a municipality, a population of at least $20,000. What we did is we went to the Division of Insurance, and frankly, we took a smaller number to the Division of Insurance for this proposed change. The division gave us some feedback, came back and said, well, we're really comfortable with 50. And so that's what you see before you right now. Division of Insurance's role is important here. It's to protect consumers as well as the integrity of the insurance market. That need is less here given the sophistication of the entities involved in pursuing the insurance coverage. They have to have an internal risk manager, and they have to be essentially a large company to meet, or a large municipality or a large public entity or private or nonprofit organization to meet the factors that are contained within the existing section of code. And to give you an idea of what other states do right now, Michigan, Minnesota, and Arizona have no trailing premium requirements whatsoever. Nebraska also has no trailing premium requirement whatsoever. Nebraska is not exactly an apples to apples situation because they classify their commercial insurance slightly differently from what we do, but they do have this exempt provisions in it. States that do have limitations in it, Oklahoma right now has $10,000 to qualify for the exempt market. New Jersey has $25,000. New Hampshire has $25,000. If you'd average the states that have commercial exempt, the ability to go out into that secondary market, the not admitted insurer market, the average is about $30,000. So South Dakota would still be, if you pass this bill, on the high end of that, but that's a change that we would say is still very positive for South Dakota businesses. One thing I do want to point out is this does not change how insurance is purchased. Companies can still directly go through agents and insurance agencies, or they can go to an insurer. This bill doesn't change that at all. The idea is that this will open up the marketplace for more companies, more South Dakota companies who can pursue better coverage through non-admitted, better or frankly more cost-effective coverage through non-admitted insurers. This change is good for businesses in South Dakota and insurers, as it will increase competition and more options for South Dakota businesses. I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Further proponents.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Craig Mattson, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Insurance Alliance. It's a state trade association that represents a little over 85% of all the PNC riders in the state. I'd like to go through and read the bill line by line. I'm just kidding. I just want to see who's paying attention here. I'll be very short here. This is, we think, a good bill, a good public policy, provides a little bit broader market to the purchaser while still making sure that they are protected. We stand in support. We hope that you'll do likewise. Thank you very much.
Further proponents on House Bill 1102. Any further proponents?
I'm waiting for the other.
See none. Opponents for House Bill 1102. Opponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Independent Insurance Agents of South Dakota. Actually, I'm not up here to bash this bill. We recognize that what the proponents say as far as creating additional markets, maybe providing some additional opportunities from a price or coverage standpoint. There's no question this bill will accomplish that. But we just wanted to exercise a cautionary note. There's a flip side to this. When you're talking about an exempt commercial lines, that means that those particular employers or businesses will be purchasing products that the Division of Insurance hasn't reviewed the rates or the forms. And if they, in fact, don't happen to be a sophisticated insurance buyer, they may end up with a product that's not particularly appropriate. So that's our only concern with this bill. I wanted to, you know, let the committee know that that is a possibility. Like I said, there's obviously a positive side of this, but just wanted to make sure that there was understood that there may be a negative side, at least in some circumstances. So with that, I'll stand by. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponents on House Bill 1102? Seeing none, we'll back to rebuttal for the prime sponsor or his designee.
Thank you, Senator Wheeler, committee members. Just want to briefly address what Mr. Moses talked about. And I'd point out, already existing in the section of the code that allows for this to occur requires the use of a risk manager, either employed or retained by the entity. That risk manager is generally an individual who's very familiar with both the insurance marketplace and the type of risk that the individual company is facing. So I'd submit that there's a good chance that the risk manager is already better situated to find the correct policy and coverage for the individual entity than potentially an agent is. And the other thing I'd point out is that this bill doesn't change anything about using an agent. You can still use an agent to help you find the right policy to work through a company. So it doesn't change anything about the way that you purchase insurance through an agency or directly through an insurer. That's not a change that's in the bill. That's already how this is put into practice in the real world. Thank you.
Thank you. That'll close the testimony portion. We'll open it up for committee questions. Any questions? Seeing no questions, we'll close that portion and then move on to committee discussion or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schoenbeck.
Move due pass on HB 1102.
We have a due pass motion from Senator Schoenbeck.
Second.
There's a second from Senator Crabtree. Any discussion on your motion?
It's kind of a boring bill to start the day off with, I'm just saying.
Strong points. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll, all in favor will say aye, all opposed say no, and the secretary will call the roll. What did you have? We'll wait.
It's a roll call vote.
I'm sorry, I should say it's a roll call vote. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Foster?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Tobin?
Aye.
Zickman?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Crabtree?
Aye.
9 ayes.
The bill having received a majority of vote, the due pass motion is passed. Because there was opposition testimony, that will not be placed on consent, and Senator Crabtree will have to pitch it on the floor. Turn it back over to the chairman.
Thank you. We'll start with we will move on to House Bill 1173, an act to include a common paymaster as within the meaning of employing unit. Representative Derby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Derby, State Representative, District 34, Rapid City. And if you're like me, you may have thought a common paymaster was a military term or something to that effect. But actually, what it is that South Dakota does not currently recognize common paymasters, which are related corporations or companies reporting payroll under one account. Related corporations or companies benefit from a common paymaster in situations where employees of one transfer their employment to another. Under the common paymaster rule, the common paymaster would calculate unemployment insurance tax for all employees as a single employing unit. HB 1173 amends the statute to include common paymaster within the definition of employing unit. Under present law, for example, a South Dakota business person with six wholly owned corporations would need to run six separate payrolls. This administrative cost is not only extremely burdensome, but also is unfair because an employee might work for several of the corporations and the employer is forced to pay duplicative state unemployment tax. This is considered a business-friendly bill, and I will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Further proponents for House Bill 1173. Any further proponents? Seeing none, any opponents to House Bill 1173? Any opponents to House Bill 1173? Seeing none, we'll move it on to committee questions, discussion, and or action. Any committee questions, discussion, and or action?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Steinhauer.
I move due pass on 1173.
We have a due pass motion from Senator Steinhauer and a second from Senator Foster. Any comments on that motion?
No, it makes sense. It simplifies payroll for multiple corporations that are related.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, I'd ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Foster.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Tobin.
Aye.
Zuckman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
Crabtree.
Aye.
Nine ayes.
After receiving a unanimous number of votes, House Bill 1173 is hereby deemed passed, and unless there's any objection, will be placed on the consent calendar. Moving on, HB 1214, an act to prohibit forms of caller identification manipulation and to impose a penalty, therefore.
Mr. Chair, fine, esteemed colleagues on the Commerce and Energy Committee, I'm going to make this short and brief. 1214 is probably the best bill in the state of South Dakota right now. If you sent it to the people, you would get a 100% vote on a referral for the ballot. It simply states that they can no longer fraudulently use somebody else's number to call you in a telemarketing deal. There were a couple amendments made because the opponents had some concerns. We made those, so hopefully there are no opponents. That's it. No, that final word, your grandma's not going to call you, and you're not going to pick it up, and they're going to say, your car's extended warranty has expired. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents for House Bill 1214.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Tara Larson, I'm an attorney here in Pierre and registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. We stand here in support of this bill now. We were originally one of the opponents. We would like to thank Speaker Gosch for working with us on the amendment. We think the amendment has addressed our concerns, and therefore we would ask you to vote yes on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents for House Bill 1214. Further proponents? Seeing none, opponents to House Bill 1214. Any opponents to House Bill 1214? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee questions, discussion, and or action. Senator Zuckman.
Second.
We have a due pass motion from Senator Zuckman, a second from Senator Tobin. Any discussion on that?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schoenberg.
There are so many warranty opportunities you miss out on. My grandma has sold me such good warranties for my. I got three of them. Not grandma's warranties. This bothers me.
I think Speaker Gosch must drive a more reliable vehicle than you do. Any other discussion on this? Seeing none, I'd ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Foster.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Tobin.
Aye.
Zuckman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
Crabtree.
Aye.
Nine ayes.
After receiving a unanimous number of votes, House Bill 1214 is hereby deemed passed. Are there any objections to placing this on the consent calendar? Seeing none. On we go to, just a reminder, HB 1229 is moved to Thursday. We'll move on to HB 1271, an act to provide for remote work for employees of money lending licensees and mortgage lender businesses. Senator Wheeler.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, David Wheeler, State Senator from District 22, Kingsbury and Beadle Counties. I am presenting to you House Bill 1271 this morning. This bill would allow businesses in the financial services sector to modernize their business practices in a manner that allows their employees to work from home. Specifically, this bill allows employees of money lender and mortgage lender businesses the same flexibility as other businesses to conduct licensable activities remotely. However, these activities would not be authorized unless the licensee is able to meet key security and privacy standards. These safeguards would ensure that the public is adequately protected. I ask you to support House Bill 1271, and we'll turn it over to the other proponents. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents to House Bill 1271.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Lindsay Ryder Rapp. I'm a registered lobbyist for the American Financial Services Association, which is kind of a primary trade association for consumer credit. We are asking for your favorable support on House Bill 1271. The pandemic obviously prompted many businesses to re-examine the way that they do business. We're working from home had previously been embraced by only some professions. We learned that other professions can also do their jobs from locations other than the commercial workplace. And with this shift, many companies invested in virtual private networks and other advanced technology to allow employees to work remotely, but at the same time ensure the same data security. This bill would allow the same flexibility to employees of money lender businesses and mortgage lender businesses. And during the pandemic, the Division of Banking actually had issued some guidance as it relates to mortgage loan originators and allowed them to work remotely. That guidance actually expires June 30th of 2022. So we're asking to permanently allow that to occur as it relates to the mortgage loan originators, and then also extend that to the money lender licensees. Who are the money lender licensees? I have a list of all those licensees in front of me. There are some of them: Aberdeen Auto Finance. There's also bigger entities such as Ford Motor Credit and whatnot. So you have kind of big and small. But those are the mortgage lender licensees that we're talking about. Obviously, it's important to ensure that there is data security. And when the Division of Banking issued their guidance, they had some various different protocols that they wanted to ensure were in place in order to maintain the safeguards and privacy that's required and necessary when we're talking about licensees of this nature. So you'll see that in the bill, it has six different requirements. These are largely based upon that which was issued by the Division of Banking. And so I'll just briefly walk through those. Obviously, there's no in-person interactions at that remote location. Number two, the virtual private networks, that's a requirement, along with other appropriate safeguards. Also want to make sure that we have appropriate risk-based monitoring and oversight. None of the records can be maintained at that remote location. Obviously, those documents have to be maintained and accessible to the regulatory oversight, which here is the Division of Banking. And then number six, we want to make sure that there's appropriate employee training to ensure that these documents and records are confidential. And so we believe that with those safeguards in place, that entities of this nature, that they too can conduct those business in a remote location and ensure that there is the data security and privacy standards that are in place. So for those reasons, we would ask you to support House Bill 1271. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents to House Bill 1271. Any further proponents? Seeing none, we'll move on to opponents. Any opponents to House Bill 1271? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee questions, discussion, and or action on House Bill 1271. Senator Stalzer.
Move do pass.
We have a do pass motion from Senator Stalzer. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second from Senator Tolvin. Any discussion on that, Senator Stalzer?
No, this just makes sense with today's modern world.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, I'd ask the Secretary to call the roll on the do pass motion.
Senators Foster?
Aye.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Schoenbeck? Excused. Stalzer?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Tobin?
Aye.
Zickman?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Crabtree?
Aye.
8 ayes, 1 excused.
After receiving a unanimous number of votes, House Bill 1271 is hereby deemed passed. And I believe we've all heard Senator Wheeler talk enough on the floor this year that we are also going to place this on the consent calendar. Agreed? All right. Perfect. All right. Got to give you... Got to give Senator Wheeler a hard time when we can, you know. With that, we've completed our work for today. We will have one more committee meeting, and I believe we'll have 6 bills on, I think, on Thursday. With that, I take a motion to adjourn.
Ooh.
Motion to adjourn made by Senator Steinhauer and seconded by Senator Nordstrom. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. We are adjourned.